Hey team, welcome to the Professionally Offensive Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Cabrera. This is the spot where we provide raw, unfiltered insights from some amazing guests. Stand by, you're about to be offended in all the right ways. All right, team, welcome back to the show. We are rounding out our final episode of the Art of War series, part 5. We're going to focus on 3 chapters, the last chapters of The Art of War. And these chapters have a really great way of bringing our entire series here to a close. But before we talk about that, we did 4 parts before this. Highly recommend you go back and tune into those. You don't have to listen to them in any particular order. These things can kind of be taken in whatever order you like. But what I find is that these all fit together like a really great puzzle piece, and they all support each other in the different lessons and wisdom and things that you learn throughout these different chapters. And so we do a deep dive into certain sections and excerpts as we go through The Art of War. And I think it'll help you not only on the warfare front, but specifically in business and in life, there's just a lot of applicable lessons. But coming back to this last part here on the Art of War series, we're going to cover 3 chapters. The chapters, really, if I summarize what they're thematically about, they have to do with mindset, intuition, and some of the fragility of doing things that have complexity to it. And of course, the theme through Art of War really is about simplifying. But oftentimes the problem sets that we're faced with, the things in life and in business and in warfare that we're faced with, are naturally complicated. And our job is to create simplicity in those moments. And these chapters really reemphasize the simplicity piece, but also help drive home a mentality and some of the things that do require some discernment because of how fragile it can be. So without further ado, we're going to kick into these chapters. The first one is called The 9 Kinds of Ground. In war, there are 9 kinds of ground. Scattering ground, light ground, strategic ground, open ground, crossroad ground, heavy ground, intractable ground, enclosed ground, death ground. When an army enters enemy territory, but not deeply, this is light ground. When the ground offers advantage to either side, this is strategic ground. When the ground borders 3 states and the first to take it has mastery of the empire, that is crossroad ground. On scattering ground, do not fight. On light ground, do not halt. On strategic ground, do not attack. On open ground, do not block. On crossroad ground, form alliances. On heavy ground, plunder. On intractable ground, keep marching. On enclosed ground, devise stratagems. On death ground, fight. The skillful warrior directs his army as if it were a single man. He leaves it no choice but to obey. It is the business of the general to be still and inscrutable, to be upright and impartial. Distribute rewards without undue respect for rules. Publish orders without undue regard for precedent. Deal with a whole army as if it were a single man. Apply them to their task without words of explanation. Confront them with the advantage, but do not explain the danger. Throw them into perilous ground and they will survive. Plunge them into death ground and they will live. When a force has fallen into danger, it can snatch victory from defeat. All right, so we're going to go back to a couple excerpts here. A lot of things going on, a little bit of terrain, a little bit of mindset, a little bit of intensity around fighting and the different types of methods and mentalities and spirit one should have when they're faced with it. When they're talking about the 9 kinds of grounds, what I like to reflect on here is that there is a mindset and a purpose for everything in life, whatever it might be. It is not uncommon in the business world, in the nonprofit world, in the government world, in warfare, to look at a problem set, to look at a piece of terrain and immediately start making excuses for why this is not going to be favorable, why you may not succeed, why failure might be something that's going to happen, right? You already start making excuses for why these things aren't coming together and already planning for defeat. But if you see the way they broke this down, all the way from light ground, open ground, crossroad ground, what I like is they go through each one of these pieces as there's a purpose for it. And if you can understand the purpose for it and the things to be cautious about, you can learn to appreciate everything that's in front of you. And so in the case of The Art of War, I really recommend going back in here and kind of dive into each one of those. I just kind of went through a couple of them. Right? When the ground offers advantage to either side, that's strategic ground, right? It's valuable to both sides. When you have scattering ground, don't fight on it. When there's heavy ground, plunder it. When you've got enclosed ground, devise a strategy. And then death ground, well, you're going to have to fight. Again, there you can find peace in just being able to understand what's in front of you. And not overcomplicate some of the subjective. Just start making a plan and move forward. We kind of move on here. And what's really neat about this chapter is that not only do they talk about terrain, but they talk about the skillful warrior and how they direct an army as if it was it's a single person. They say a single man, but I look at it as like a single, like an organism. It's a body. And that applies to business, your family, sports. If you can look at this entire effort, this entire family, this team, this company as an organism, as one body, then you can really start to appreciate how when you communicate orders, when you start driving a direction, there has to be an understanding of a holistic approach when you're looking at something. It's not just the hand that's going to do something. It's not just your feet that are going to do something. It's not that the eyeballs are the most important. But all these things working together, and I think The Art of War here does a really great job emphasizing that. Towards the end of the chapter, they talk about distributing rewards without undue respect for rules, publish orders without undue regard for precedent. This is cool. How many times you've been inside of a meeting or you've been in some conversation and you're about to award a bonus to somebody, you're about to incentivize a team, you're about to set a new policy, and you get someone that says, well, we've never done it that way before, or, well, the last time we did that, it didn't work, or so many folks had issues or gonna have issues if we reward that team so heavily. Might want to be a little conservative when it comes to how we reward folks. And what this is saying here is like, look, don't think about that stuff. Just when there's a reward due, just give it. Right? And when you're about to set a rule into place that makes sense of what's in front of you, precedent doesn't always dictate the best thing that's needed for today. And so I think, to me, my big takeaway here really is history and experience is great, but it isn't the thing or shouldn't always be the default. Shouldn't be the thing that you automatically go to dictate what's the right way to move forward. Things changed. The world is constantly shifting. And oftentimes there are things that if it didn't work in the past, might be the very best thing to do now. And timing was all the difference. Next chapter, attack by fire. Hence the saying, the enlightened ruler considers deeply, the effective general follows through. Never move except for gain. Never deploy except for victory. Never fight except in crisis. A ruler must never mobilize his men out of anger. A general must never engage battle out of spite. Move if there is gain. Halt if there is no gain. Anger can turn to pleasure. Spite can turn to joy. But a nation destroyed cannot be put back together again. A dead man cannot be brought back to life. So the enlightened ruler is prudent. The effective general is cautious. This is the way to keep a nation at peace and an army intact. This chapter here is a simple one. It actually starts off talking about the 5 ways to attack by fire. And that's an interesting excerpt, and I think definitely something worth reading if you're going back through this chapter here. But the part I wanted to focus on are really two of them. One of them, it's talking about discernment. It's talking about patience. It's talking about being mindful. When he goes back to the enlightened ruler, considers deeply, and the effective general follows through. Only pursue things, right? Only move if it's for a gain, right? If you're going to actually go towards victory. And only fight when there's a crisis. This stuff is so important. I think often as leaders, we think it's our job to always be executing in a movement kind of way. Better way said, I actually like this analogy. I use it quite a bit when I'm thinking about an organization and their actual movement. I always go, is this organization moving forward like a ship through water? Or is it moving in a way that a dog chases its tail? Both of them look like they're moving. One of them has got a more calm to it, and it's progressing in a direction that's moving into new uncharted waters and moving towards progress. Whereas a dog chasing its tail is one that an initial glance looks busy and like there's a lot of things going on. But the reality of it is that it's really not going anywhere. It's just going in circles. So what kind of movement are you doing? And I think as leaders of our organizations, families, and teams, and businesses, our goal here is to understand when the right time to move, right? And to practice that level of tactical patience. And sometimes the best thing you can do as a leader is pause for a second and really consider what you're about to do before moving your organization that direction. It's hard to do. Again, we think we get paid to always be physically moving, but oftentimes that's just chasing your tail. The other thing that's really great about this is talking about how anger can turn to pleasure, spite can turn to joy. This is really talking about folks, this is just the way I interpret this, about folks losing their way. Whether that's company politics, whether that's just pure competition, or whether that's some kind of grudge that companies hold against each other, whatever it might be, you can easily lose your way and think you're having a good time, think you're doing the right thing by your organization, by progressing forward with a certain strategy or competing with a certain competitor, whatever it might be. But if you kind of stand back and go, wait a minute, did this start because out of some, you know, angry issue that we had in the past, or because I'm trying to show or prove something to somebody, right? If those are the reasons to do that, you're moving yourself or your organization that way, it's not the way to be. Because what can happen is that that organization can be destroyed. Your team can be destroyed. Your effort can be destroyed under selfish pride. And that's really difficult to put back together, as it mentions there. And so I really like this chapter because it talks about the importance of leaders taking a step back and discerning what they're about to do, thinking deeply about it. And then when you commit to ensure that that mindset and that intention is still pure as you're moving forward. All right, y'all. Last chapter, espionage. There are 5 sorts of spies: local, internal, double, dead, and alive. Without wisdom, it is impossible to employ spies. The ruler must know all 5 of these sorts of spies. This knowledge must come from the double agent, so the double agent must be treated generously. Spies are a key element in warfare. On them depends an army's every move. This chapter here is a departure from what really the rest of the book focuses on. The departure isn't necessarily in the mindset and kind of the core to it. I'm going to get to that in a second. But it is a step outside of the normal cadence of things that we've been reading through. And I think that's why it's really neat, because it does talk about the forces at play that are more covert, that are in the shadows. And I like this chapter because it really highlights the things that are subdued. And it brings to light not to be ignorant. that there are a lot of things at play that we often don't see. And if we need to get a reminder somewhere, this is a great chapter for it. Do all the right things, move the right direction, be understanding of what the things you can control and are objectively in your purview, but also understand there's just a lot of things going on, whether that's in business or your family or whatever it might be, in your personal lives, that are happening maybe without you necessarily knowing, right? Changes in friends and conversations and, you know, new businesses coming online, folks watching what you're doing without you even knowing it, coming up with a new secret recipe to a new product you're going to put into the market and recognizing that you got folks that are kind of paying attention to what's really going on there and without you even knowing it too much and maybe trying to get an edge. There's so many things going on at once, and it's not necessary to create an unhealthy level of paranoia, but it is something to just be mindful of, especially as we're working through the different things that we're working through in life. And one of the things that is, I think, the most consequential statement of this chapter here is, without wisdom, it is impossible to employ spies. When you go back through this book, I recommend reading the espionage chapter. You'll get a lot out of it. It goes through all the different types of spies and stuff. But what I want to focus on is that statement there. It really focuses on self-work, self-awareness, and being good with yourself individually first before you start employing all these elevated, fancy, kind of elite level tactics and tools, right? We think that if I got the greatest, you know, secret weapon there in the tool shed, that I'm going to be able to overcome anything. And the reality of it is that you're really only going to be able to move as far as you're prepared to move. And so that wisdom is so important. We often get ahead of ourselves because we believe that if we hired all the smartest people, we had all the technology, we have all the resources at our disposal, there's nobody that's going to stop us. And there's many times in history where that isn't the case. And that's because typically the leader, the organization, isn't ready, doesn't have the wisdom needed to be able to use that tool responsibly, to be able to use that asset responsibly. The last part of this chapter talks about the ruler knowing and being required to know all sorts of these spies, right? Know them all. And really focuses on the double agent being the fulcrum, and so to speak. So you got to treat them generously. So when we think about that double agent, kind of take the warfare glasses off for a second and think about it much more like a really talented person in your organization. And if that talented individual is learning all the things that it takes to produce a great product, for example, and learning all the intricacies of doing that, and then your competitor or somebody who's maybe a bigger organization than you scoops that person up and brings them into their organization, they're bringing them over with all that knowledge. Your best tool from preventing that's a very natural thing, right? So your best tool to prevent that from happening is to be very generous to that person, right? Reward them well, incentivize them well, make sure there's great culture, great leadership around them. That's the best way that you can keep those assets close to you, staying with you. We get really worked up as leaders and spend a lot of time with NDAs, you know, trying to get folks to sign confidentiality statements and, you know, protecting our secret sauce. And that is part of business. That's part of running an organization at times. But I have found too many folks, too many organizations hyper-focused on the paperwork of everything, on the legalities of everything, instead of just taking it a step further and saying, what if we just treated people the way that they deserve to be treated? And if this person truly is a valuable asset, what can we do in a much more natural human way to incentivize them to stick around? So this espionage chapter, I think, really is relatable in the ways that we think about top talent and in the ways we think about eyeballs that might be watching, whether we know it or not. A lot of this is about focusing on ourselves and running a great ship. Usually the rest of the stuff works out. All right, y'all, that is The Art of War, cover to cover, 5 parts. This entire series has come to an end. I've said this in the other parts before, and I will say it one more time. I really recommend going back through and not only listening to all the parts that we discussed here, but picking up a copy. It's a really good, easy, smooth read. And it reads like poetry, and it really operates great as like a field manual almost, just to come back to. And whether it's personal things, professional things, it applies in a lot. It applies in this really universal way. There's takeaways in all the things that we discussed, but there's even more takeaways in there that we didn't really get into in this short read. And so as you're reading through these things, I would treat this as a field manual and as one that as you go back through it throughout the year, throughout the years, just know that it can re-jog your brain in a cool way to either recenter you, remind you of a new perspective, or just really give you a kick and some good wisdom on how it is that you might want to consider moving forward in whatever you're working on. All right, y'all. That's it. Art of War series complete. And we'll see you on the high ground. Thanks for tuning in. We want to hear from you. So do me a solid. Leave us a review. We read every comment. If you got value from what you heard today, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, share it with a friend. Thanks for being on the team. We'll see you on the high ground. JC out.